Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from New Jersey is Deborah Adelman. Deb is the author of the chapter, A Data Privacy Compliance Program Primer, a snapshot of data privacy regulations, risk and compliance program effectiveness strategies in the newest version of the Complete Compliance and Ethics Manual. She's got a deep background leading ethics and compliance programs. And Deborah, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Adam.
Oh, our pleasure. And thanks again for writing that chapter. Now, in reading through the article, it's quite obvious privacy is huge for the compliance officer. What are some of the key steps a compliance officer can take if they're either new to the role or new to the field of privacy within their company?
Sure. First, remember that privacy is a risk similar to, for example, anti-bribery and corruption or other top risks. It just well may be your top risk right now. As a risk, you want to take out your trusted compliance framework and then apply it to privacy. So begin to get a picture of who's involved in overseeing the function. Is it a standing topic for your board and senior leadership? When was the last time your organization conducted a privacy risk assessment or updated its privacy learning modules? As the article and the chapter does go into some detail, conduct a privacy risk assessment so you can identify your focus points. And some sources for you would be the Federal Trade Commission. They actually have done a great job in the last year really telling you where you should look. You want to understand what issues your organization may have had in the past. And this exercise will be really helpful as you begin to collaborate with other key related functions such as IT, cyber, and risk management. And you don't want to underestimate the value of that risk assessment. COVID has taught us a lot. The one thing it has taught organizations is the importance of resilience and flexibility. You want to know not only what your privacy, legal, regulatory, contractual, or reputational risks are, but the likelihood and impact of those risks so you can focus your resources accordingly. So I guess privacy and privacy governance demand a holistic approach to understanding your organization, its strategy, of course, with respect to data, technology, and risks. These are exciting times for our profession.
Yeah, well, it's exciting, definitely. Is I think even an understatement for how things are. Now, in reading through the article, it struck me that there are a lot of ways to look at privacy compliance. I mean, privacy is such a complex risk that it seems you need to look at it from multiple perspectives to fully understand it. The first perspective, at least to me, is the regulatory one. It's a huge question, but what's new in terms of requirements compliance teams need to start addressing?
Well, that depends on when this podcast airs, right? Mm-hmm. Well, as of January 2021, pre-inauguration in the United States, many folks are placing wagers, so to speak, on the likelihood of a federal U.S. privacy law. But regardless, organizations should have or be assessing the impact on the new California, not only the CCPA, but what some people call CCPA Round 2, which is the Regulatory Act or CPRA. Organizations should understand how they're impacted by, for example, Brazil's new privacy law. Similarly, organizations should keep an eye on the new Canada privacy legislation, which, if everything turns out, promises to be similar to GDPR. And well, of course, speaking of GDPR, if your organization has any cross-border EU data flows, you should become familiar with the new standard contractual clauses and the diligence requirements. But broadly, given the rapid pace of change, compliance teams should ask the question, who in their organization does have the pulse on the changing privacy regulatory environment? How are they communicating these changes to your leadership? In some cases, your organization may actually be asked to certify to its understanding of this environment.
Yeah, and that's obviously going to be a challenge with the rules changing so frequently and then also all the complexities. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, GDPR has set a very high bar that most companies are at least aspiring to or aware that they need to. And at the same time, it's hard to know what's going to come next. And then obviously, if you're dealing with things, as you mentioned, not only cross-border data flows in Europe, but to and from Europe, it's always complex picture. So the next lens, I think, when it comes to privacy is to look at privacy from how the data is being processed, including where the data is collected and accessed or where it is going to. Is it at a desk in an office or at a home office? Is it being being transmitted and how into a mobile setting with customers or patients? How do compliance teams need to think about privacy in these settings?
That's right, Adam. Organizations should conduct what is more commonly referred to as a data mapping exercise. And actually, Adam, there's a great chapter in the manual about that topic specifically. So I encourage folks to read that as well. There are quite a few companies now that actually will offer to scan your data, your data sets, and provide this mapping for you. But honestly, organizations should not be overwhelmed when they think about data inventory or mapping. They should aim small, miss small, as I like to say. The compliance team will want to understand where they're processing their most risk-prone information that they've already identified through that risk assessment that we just talked about. The compliance team can engage with functional and lines of business leaders and have them identify what data they're processing where, for what purpose, and using what technology. From a privacy perspective, the compliance team should think about how do they communicate the do's and don'ts in those settings that you just alluded to their staff. For example, during COVID, has your organization published your quick tips for keeping personal data secure, such as turning off your home devices so they do not capture confidential information while you're working? If staff are still using, and some companies still use, hard copy documents, have they provided those individuals with secure destruction guidelines that apply while they're working remotely? And certainly during COVID, most compliance teams have begun using various webcast services, whether that's Teams or Zoom or any of the others. Have staff been provided instructions in terms of whether they are allowed to share data within those settings? Those are just a few points that come to mind.
I want to pick up on one of those points you mentioned, which is technology. I mean, each technology has its own individual risks with it. Is that correct? And how should compliance teams be approaching that?
You're absolutely right. COVID certainly has put the spotlight even more on the relationship between privacy and technology risk. But one of the key privacy programmatic foundations is what is called a privacy impact assessment. The compliance team, if they are not functioning as the privacy team, in other words, if compliance is completely separate from privacy, they may not be, and likely are not, the ones that are performing or preparing these assessments, but they certainly should inquire how they are occurring. Any technology that is processing confidential personal data should have a privacy impact associated with it. This is one of the many ways that the privacy world works closely with the IT teams. Compliance teams should assess how they're conducting supplier diligence. Why? Because your suppliers are using technology. For example, organizations that are going to either receive or transmit EU personal data using technology should be able to demonstrate that they have conducted a privacy diligence-based approach. This is one of the key hallmarks with some of the changes that have recently occurred with EU data transfers. And lastly, organizations should be able to demonstrate how they have incorporated privacy diligence into their M&A technology processes. Some of the more recent extensive fines and penalties revolved around lack of merger and acquisition technology privacy diligence.
And diligence is always a factor, no matter what you seem to deal with in compliance. Now, if all of these other factors we talk about weren't enough, there's another huge elephant in the room, which is the external factors out there. These range from the pandemic, which obviously changed how people use technology and so many more remote workers and all the security issues that posed, to things like the SolarWinds hack, which, as we're recording this, is very much in the news. How do you plan for these external factors?
Yeah, and I think that is the key question that people ask seemingly every time one of these major data breaches occurs. The key is having a demonstrable program from which you can then apply these particular circumstances. And increasingly, that means having data which provides the evidence of your program, your risks, how you're processing the data, on what basis, and your focal points. To state it another way, and to slightly change the sometimes, I will agree, overused quote from the great Wayne Gretzky's dad, yes, look at where the puck is going, the shifting regulatory environment, new data breaches, but leverage your program's data to learn from where the puck has been. Sorry, I just had to get that quote in there.
That's okay.
It's just incredibly apropos. When COVID happens, you should already have had a sense of how you address mobile work environment so that when solar wind happens, you already know whether and what extent you work with that or similar suppliers and how you rank them, what are the controls that you required of them, et cetera. And lastly, you can move towards predictive analytics to ask the question, where am I the most vulnerable or what functions within my company do I need to strengthen? And by doing this, then you will better be prepared when the next solar winds or what other data breach, or not just the data breach, another, we hope not, pandemic occurs.
You mentioned predictive analytics, so let me ask you for one other prediction. With the landscape changing so quickly, it seems as if we also have to always keep our eyes to the horizon. So what do you see coming next?
Well, that's a great question. To me, the horizon means not just privacy and data protection, but information governance. It's not just about personal data, but it's about your organization's secret jewels and highest value, trusted assets, your intellectual property, et cetera. You want to have strong data governance, the policies, procedures, and rules that govern your data, whether it's personal data, whether, as I said before, it's intellectual property, whether it's confidential data that your clients or your staff trust you with. And not only do you want to protect your data, you want to leverage your data, learn from your data. And I'm getting back to some of those points I made earlier. These are not polar opposites, by the way. The company that leverages its data may better protect its own staff or its own IP. You want to be able to tell stories with your data, whether those stories are designed to confirm risk, reduce risk, substantiate a business case, to expand data use, or shift the business's priorities. And so where I think the horizon is getting to is that this demands an enterprise-wide strategy with buy-in from senior leadership. Data protection is not a back office function. Data protection is frontline, and it is top-down, bottom-up. The compliance team should ask whether they have or should have the role, for example, of a data steward, something that we can certainly talk about on another podcast. But regardless, an organization really needs to understand where their data is, what their commitments are to that data, how they can leverage the data. And maybe if I can just go back one more time to that famous Wayne Gretzky's dad's quote, by analyzing where your puck has been, you can be informed where your puck is going.
And you definitely want to have that information. I mean, data is becoming fast, the chief asset a lot of organizations have, and you want to make sure that that asset is properly safeguarded, both from outsiders as well as internal errors that can severely damage it. Well, Deb, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us and for authoring that chapter in the Complete Compliance and Ethics Manual. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.